assessing the impact of the world's first crowdfunding festival. That conversation is just ahead, and good Tuesday morning, live from Studio 5. You're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Melissa Ross. First Coast Connect is always live on the radio, and you can also catch our daily podcast on iTunes. Just ahead, we want your calls on the eve of One Sparks kickoff. Opening ceremonies are tonight. What are your thoughts about the growth of this festival and what it means for the city and for the First Coast? Get on the line now, 549-2937. Then later, private proton therapy is now an option for cancer patients here on the First Coast. We'll tell you about it. Plus, we'll welcome the cast of Stage Aurora's new production of The Color Purple. All of that ahead. But first this morning, One Spark 2015 kicks off tonight in downtown Jacksonville at Hemming Plaza. The homegrown crowdfunding event has attracted investors and publicity from around the globe and is expected to bring in $2 million in new dollars for the city. More than 250,000 people are expected to crowd into the downtown blocks for the six-day event. And this year, 555 creators, as they're called, will showcase their projects as they compete for money from investors, festival prizes, and votes from the public. You can do that by downloading the OneSpark app to your smartphone. Now, an estimated 150 creators have come here from other states to show off their ideas. So how is the spark of OneSpark affecting Jacksonville's future and growth? Our own WJCT analyst John Burr is here to share his thoughts. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And here's our question to callers. Are you going to One Spark? What are you most excited about this year? And what do you think this festival is doing for the First Coast in terms of the economy, business growth, and branding and tourism? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect and email and tweet the show. So opening ceremonies tonight at 6. A lot of anticipation, John. In the second year of the festival, One Spark really blew up. It really became something. This year, of course, expectations are even higher. Can the festival creators top those expectations and go even bigger and better this year?
I think they can. excuse me. You know, they're kind of downplaying the attendance this year. They're saying 250, which is what they got last year. But really they want more than that, and I think they have a good shot at it. They've got a really good speaker panel going. They've got great entertainment at night. It's as much a party as it is a business fest, innovation fest. So there's reasons for people to come. There's and all the downtown supporters are there. And, I think they're going to do very well this year.
Let's talk about some of the attractions. GE's former Titan Jack Welch and his wife Susie, two of the featured keynote speakers this week. Mm-hmm. And as you said, the party scene, just the people watching, the food, the fun, the music, the energy of it all, it's something the city really hasn't seen before.
Well, yes, and we'd like to see a lot more of it. You know, the downtown area. People last year after the first year was pretty good. You know, hey, that was interesting. Last year, like you say, it really took off and the energy ramped up quite a bit. A lot of people showed up. A lot of people were surprised by the atmosphere and the fun. And I think the organizers now they love that part of it, but I think they're really trying to up the innovation part of it and make that more of a signature event, especially for drawing people in from other states and other regions, other innovators, creators, to make it a really center of innovation and technology.
And if you're just tuning in, as One Spark prepares to kick off tonight at Hemming Plaza, what are your thoughts about what the crowdfunding festival is doing for the First Coast in terms of supporting entrepreneurship, the economy, tourism? We want your calls. Give us a call at 549-2937. What are the challenges, what are the growing pains associated with an event like this, would you say?
Well, the expectations are definitely one of them. But, I think As you look at this festival, they've got to really, every year, they've got to do a little better. They've got to think a little bigger. They've got to attract more people from outside of Jacksonville to come here. They've got to start shooting to be Florida's Innovation Festival. Maybe in 2 or 3 years, they've got to be the Southeast Innovation Festival. I mean, those are the goals. Those are the marks they got to hit. And, you know, that takes, you know, topping yourself each year and also creating a buzz outside of the region where people say, hey, you know, this is really cool. I'm in Chattanooga, but I got to go to Jacksonville to show this product because that's where the real innovation people are.
In that sense, are they following the model and the growth over the years that Austin has seen with South by Southwest?
It's a different type of festival. South by Southwest, you know, was more geared toward entertainment at first, but I think they are. And if you know, I really believe the best to come for this festival. And the way you're going to see that, one of the ways is other entities are going to start to attach themselves to this festival. There's going to be different activities that are unrelated to OneSpark, but kind of piggybacking off of OneSpark happening at the same time in Jacksonville. So that would, you know, that will create even more buzz, even more people coming in, even more attraction.
And it all sounds great. Obviously, this is what Jacksonville wants, but are there unintended consequences as this thing grows?
Sounds
like you think no.
If they're unintended, then I don't know about them yet. So we'll just have to see on that one. But, you know, there usually are. But, you know, this is really a big positive for the city. You know, there's no really way to spin it in a negative way at this point.
You know, the old saying is success has 1,000 fathers and defeat is an orphan. In the years to come, it will be interesting to see how the origin story of this event is spun. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because let's talk about the origin story. It was three young guys who went to a local kingmaker, Peter Rummel, very much a part of the old establishment guard of the city of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. But he had the smarts to see, oh, this is the next wave. I'm gonna ride this wave with these kids. I'm going to fund their idea. And if it bears out and it becomes self-sustaining, he's going to look like a genius.
Well, there are a lot of people who say he already looks like a genius. And I'm not going to argue with that one either. But yes, it's, you know, these types of festivals, these types of ideas, they do grow from very small base. Three guys with an idea and they found the right guy to come up and fund them. You know, it's very exciting to see it grow, and it's really got the potential to transform the downtown area. It's really got a potential to transform Jacksonville's business image, not only in Florida, but, you know, in the country.
What's the image of Jacksonville business now, and how do you think it will change?
Well, we're not, you know, I mean, we're not known as a technology hub right now. I mean, we've got some pretty interesting things going on here. We certainly got a lot more going on here than we did 5 years ago in the technological sphere, but you know, I mean, we're not Texas, we're not California. In fact, Florida is really not an innovation hub overall either. So, in the state of Florida, I would say this is probably this festival probably has the greatest potential right now to grow into something that really kind of sticks Florida's flag into the map and says, hey, we're here too, and we're a player.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking about this week's OneSpark Festival with analyst John Burr. Are you going to the festival? What are you most excited about this year? What are your questions? Give us a call. 549-2937 is the number to join the show. Even if you want to plug a creator project, we want to hear from you. And oh my gosh, are we getting pitches about all the creator projects?
Oh my goodness, we sure are.
There's 555 have come from out of state.
That's right.
Bigger number than last year, isn't it?
Quite a bit bigger, and that's what you got to see to really make this festival go. Is you got to make it more than a Jacksonville festival, more than a Northeast Florida festival. It's got to be a regional festival.
And so the organizers set up a satellite festival in Berlin that they said was successful. How does that take this brand global? How do you see their strategy unfolding in that part of it?
Yeah, I'm not clear on that. I don't think the Berlin thing was an overwhelming success. And, you know, I think it was something they tried. They threw it out there to see how it would go. You know, I'm not sure how it's going to either help or hurt the Jacksonville effort. And I'm not even sure that they're going to go forward with another Berlin festival, for that matter.
Oh, really? Why is that? Just what you've
Well,
heard?
I think the logistical problems of putting on something across, you know, in Europe, and also, you know, Berlin is New York, okay? Jacksonville is it's much harder to make an impact in a Berlin than it is in a southeastern city like Jacksonville.
Now, you also said you see the potential for this event to transform the city's urban core. We already see evidence of positive movement in the downtown area. How do you see downtown growing over the next 5-10 years with the growth of this event?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's for downtown, it's getting people to come downtown. It's getting people to have a good time downtown. It's getting people to get away, you know, not think of the St. John's Town Center as the only place in Jacksonville where you go and gather. And so I think in terms of the growth of downtown, it gets people, you know, just to think, hey, you know, where are we going to have dinner tonight? Where are we going to go see some music tonight? And downtown suddenly starts to become top of mind, and that's a wonderful thing, and that's what has to happen to sustain, you know, clubs, restaurants, the types of things that, you know, really are going to attract people downtown, you know, week after week after week, not just 1 week in April.
And let us know if you're going to be taking the Skyway downtown to Once Park. Maybe that will generate some calls. Let us know your thoughts on the Skyway and what it's going to be this week with Once Park. Call us up at 549-2937. Of course, the Jacksonville Transportation Authority is the official transportation partner for Once Park. Listen to these numbers, John. On any average day, they have about 5,000 riders. During One Spark last year, they had 91,000 riders in 5 days. The Skyway is always free, but the free hours will be extended during the festival. On Friday and Saturday, the Skyway will run till 2 a.m. for free.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and it was an incredible experience riding the Skyway during the festival. People were excited to get on these packed little trams instead of being annoyed like they would be in, say, New York or Chicago or D.C. or wherever else. They were excited.
Yes, well, it's almost like a Disney ride. You know, that there's a stretch of the Skyway where you come across the bridge and you come around past the Everbank Tower, and you make that loop north toward Hemming Plaza. That's a pretty cool part of the ride.
Absolutely. And here's an email from Marilyn. We want to go again this year. Will the shuttle be running like last year? We aren't that familiar with Jacksonville and depend on the shuttle. Hmm. I think she's talking about the Skyway, but I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure whatever was in place last year will be in place this year.
Yeah, so Marilyn, if you're listening, transportation's free on the Skyway. Probably the easiest thing for you to do is to park in a lot where there's a Skyway stop and just take the Skyway in. And finally, the phones are lighting up at 549-2937. Let's go to Ian in downtown Jacksonville. Hi, Ian. Good morning.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning. We're super excited. One Spark kicks off just a few hours.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. You'll be going?
Absolutely. We're a creator and a venue. We're Chomp Chomp Restaurant, 106 East Adams Street. We've been there for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And all the One Sparks, and it's just such a huge impact for our business and for vitality of downtown. I mean, you can look all the way up Adams Street and see just everybody, young people, old people, babies, everybody. It's just a great, great event. So we're super excited, and we're going to do our house-made curry flavored potato chips as our creation.
What is it, Ian? Say it again, Ian. What is it?
Well, we're a full-service restaurant, and we serve
our
house-made curry flavored potato chips that are very, very popular at the restaurant.
I'll be right over.
Come on over. And hopefully when you're there, we can get a boat from you, because we're trying to get some boats to get some revenue to get a place that we can get these potato chips into the real market. So we did that last year. It was a very big success. So hopefully we'll push it over the top this year and we get these chomp chips in the store near you.
Chomp chips, I love it. And of course, Chomp Chop, that's a great place to go and grab something to eat.
So.
Yeah. Ian, have fun. I'll look out for you this week. Thanks for calling. Have fun.
Everybody stop by and say hi. Our number is 22446. Thanks for calling.
Cool.
All right, Ian. Good luck. And it's 549-2937. Give us a call about OneSpark. Opening ceremonies are tonight. Victor in Jack's Beach. Hey, Victor. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. I just wanted to pitch my project. It's called 10,000 Trees Jack's. We want to plant 10,000 native trees in areas throughout Jacksonville that merit restoration over a two-year period.
Oh, okay. Do you want to give your creator number?
It's 21841.
Okay. And where will your booth be so people can come visit you?
We'll be at the Jacksonville Landing in Suite 106. And we'll also have volunteers from local high schools fanning out through the festival to get votes.
That's great.
Yeah, excellent.
Do you offer trees to people to put in their yards, or how does it work?
Well, we're really partnering with people like JEA and some other big land managers and the parks and stuff like that. We're not doing really residential. It's mostly public lands at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But 10,000 trees is a lot, so I think we're going to have to get innovative as we get into the second year, because there's only so many public lands that we can park on. But I do want to say that we started at One Spark last year as 1,000 trees, Jack, and our goal was the same, just to plant 1,000 over a year, and we were able to finish early, so we thought, you know, why not go back and grow our project?
Sure. Have you talked to groups like Greenscape?
Absolutely, absolutely. Greenscape is one of the first people that we called, and we're definitely working with them. We're working with St. John's Riverkeeper, the Timaquan Trails Park Foundation. There's a new organization called Groundwork Jack that we're definitely looking forward to working with. There's really a long list of people that we're working with at this point. We're really excited. They definitely make it possible because, you know, as creators, we have day jobs. This is kind of something that we do on the side. So without partnerships like the ones I mentioned, you know, it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
So how important was OneSpark last year, your first appearance, to the success you had?
OneSpark was definitely the catalyst. You know, I recently relocated here from South Florida. My partner is originally from Jack, and we were environmental organizers in college. That's where we met. And then when we got up here, we wanted to do something. And we moved up in December, and then OneSpark was kind of right around the corner, and somebody was like, hey, you should start a project. And we sort of thought it up right at the spot.
Well, good luck, Victor. That's great. I'll look for you this week. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Melissa.
And people can call and plug their project if they want at 549-2937. This is the time. And, you know, it's so cool to hear people calling in because there's so much energy. There are so many people with great ideas. Not everyone will win, of course.
Right.
But even if you don't win a big amount of money, the networking opportunities, the visibility you can get at this festival, you can't really put a dollar amount on that.
Well, I think the last caller, Victor, was a perfect example of that. He thought up an idea in December. He was at OneSpark in April for, you know, to plant 1,000 trees in Jacksonville, and now he's back next year 10,000. He says OneSpark was the spark for his organization, so
yeah,
that's great.
And that was the whole intent behind it. And let's explain, for people that are just tuning into this, how crowdfunding works, because this is still a relatively new concept for some folks.
It is. Crowdfunding is a you're talking about the app they have and that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So as a participant in the festival, you're a creator. You have a number. If people like your display and want to vote for you, they will put your number into the app, and that will count as a vote. And then at the end of the festival, there are certainly other people voting as well, but at the end of the festival, those votes are counted up, and the winners are decided that way.
Let's go to Josh in Jacksonville. Hi, Josh. You ready for the festival? Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I'm very ready. We're a creator this year for the first time. We're very excited.
What's your project?
It's Hero Me. It allows kids to create their own unique superhero action figure. And we're actually raising money to create Girl Hero Leaf.
I heard about this, actually. Tell us the creator number and where you'll be.
Yeah, our creator number is 21979, and we'll be in the Dalton Agency. So it's right off of Hemming Plaza or Hemming Park on Monroe Street, right next to Subway.
All right, Josh.
And so come check us out.
Thanks, Josh. Good luck. I'll look for you this week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Girly on the south side. Girly, good morning. Is that your name?
That's it.
Hi, go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to call and tell you I'm really excited about OneSpark. We're actually a creator, and we're participating. This is our third year in a row with different projects, but we're one of the few three-timers, I think.
Oh, really? What's your project?
We are Udon Pop, and we're a tech startup, and we're actually doing our we're launching our beta at OneSpark this year, we're creating essentially an online Comic-Con, so a place where people can buy and sell nerdy merchandise, create and share geeky content, and connect with others who share the same passion.
Excellent.
Nice. How did you develop that idea?
It was a partnership between me and my son. It started a couple of years back, and it's evolved. We've had some ups and downs, but we are going strong, and we can't wait to launch.
That's very cool.
Yeah. What's your creator number? Where will you be?
We're 22427. We're going to be at the landing in the old Starbucks, and we're going to be right next to our good buddies, the GAM folks, Games, Arts, and Music.
Very nice. Oh, I know them as well. Well, good luck, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What a great story. She started it with her son, and that's terrific.
And all the creators are calling in now. Tim in Jacksonville. Hi, Tim. What's your project?
It's Raku Jacks. I'm a potter here that was mentored by a man named Charlie Brown, who was a world-famous Raku potter in the 60s and 70s. We're in the main library demonstrating our pottery technique. It's under the education category. My number is 21820. I've been an artist and potter here for over 40 years. We've got one of the best locations right when you walk in from Laura Street. We're going to be doing all kinds of demonstrations. We have a great history in Jacksonville of this ancient Japanese technique called Raku. So I'd like to bring awareness to that and the history that we have here.
Real quick, why don't you explain what Raku is? It's the type of glaze,
yes,
isn't
Raku,
it?
Yeah, it's an ancient Japanese technique began in the 4th century with the tea ceremony, lost for years, and then kind of rediscovered. And a man named Charlie Brown in Mandarin, Florida, in 1960, had a workshop. I met him when I was first beginning in the 90s and studied with him, and have innovated and changed the technique over the years. But it's a very fascinating and fast-fire type technique, and I do what's called horsehair raku, where I touch it with horsehair and burn designs in it. We'll have all kind of information on it there, main library.
Very cool. And so is your goal, with any funds that you win, to open a new studio?
No, it's to educate Jacksonville on it, have a resource material for schools, go to schools and libraries and do demonstrations and talk about this rich history we have here that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Excellent. Well, Tim, thanks for the call. We'll see you soon. Isn't this the coolest thing ever?
Yeah, that's great.
There's so much talent and creativity in this community.
If this doesn't get you fired up to go, well, you probably won't go.
Exactly. 549-2937, Ashley on the south side. Hi, Ashley.
Hi. I am not a creator, but it's just so exciting hearing everyone call in, all these very creative, smart people. I'm a Jacksonville native, so this is very exciting for me. But my question was about the funding for the people that win. I have participated in the OneSparks, and I did vote, but I guess I was always confused on that. You know, nobody pays that comes, and you don't have to pay to vote. Where does that money come from for them?
Ashley, that's a great question. Thanks for that. Let's explain that.
Okay. Well, there are sponsorships from businesses that put money into the pool. There are, I also believe, Mr. Rummel is still putting some money into the pot. Those are the two primary sources, I believe. Do you know anything more than that?
That's my understanding too. And I do know that their long-term goal is to make this festival self-supporting, so that an investor like Rummel no longer has to pony up funds to, because there have been, of course, big startup costs associated with this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know, if they keep having success like they've had in the last year, they're well on their way to achieving that.
Sharon, I hope that answers your question. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Kevin, or excuse me. Yeah, Kevin on the South Side. We're going to go to him in a moment. He's on the UNF campus, if we can put him into the queue. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. How are you? Great this morning.
Go ahead.
Well, you know me. I'm Kevin Monahan at a UNF, the Small Business Development Center, and I just wanted to talk about this process that we've been working with. I've got 26 creators that I've been working with the last couple of months to get them ready for OneSpark. We did a couple of workshops. We wrote a handbook on how to win OneSpark as well, and been working very closely with them to teach them how to do the pitch on the pitch deck.
Yes, that's important, isn't it? And the Creator Academy is helping people with that as well.
Well, they've done a great job, and we're really looking to do some more collaborative work with them as well.
Excellent. Well, thanks for the call. And he's right. There is a strategy to this for people that want to get into this game.
Yes, the elevator speech. Yes, the pitch is very important. This is the world we live in. It's not good enough just to have a good product. You've got to be able to explain it and explain it fast.
And make it sound compelling.
That's
and
right.
We have a creator on the line. It's Sharon in Ponte Vedra. Hi, Sharon. Are you there?
Hi, Melissa. Thank you for doing this show.
Sure.
Yes, I'm a creator. I have a musical that I wrote with my sister about Alzheimer's. And it sounds unusual, but we're trying to entertain and inform audiences about this global epidemic. And our goal is to raise enough money to complete 14 of our songs and meet with theater people and just get people to know about this subject. And we're 21763 in Social Good, and we'd love people to come out and vote for us. And we'll be at Visit Jacksonville on 208 North Laura Street, if anybody would like to come by.
All right,
and
Sharon.
Talk with us.
Yeah, thanks for the call. This show is becoming like the OneSpark pitch deck all of a sudden.
She raises an interesting point we haven't talked much about. Is this is also an arts festival. There will be plenty of arts created there and demonstrated there.
Absolutely. A lot of artistic talent, lots of great music, lots of great bands will have the chance to perform. Leslie in Neptune Beach. Hey, Leslie, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Our project is Banned, a community conversation about censorship and free speech. And I wanted to thank you and Stacey Goldring so much for mentioning it on the show last week. We've gotten a lot of good feedback from that, and people are very excited about all the programs we're going to have in the fall on this topic.
Right. And the whole idea behind Banned is to bring attention to everything involving banned books, and it's a free speech project. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing and where you'll be?
That's right, Melissa. It goes beyond books, though. We're talking about books, art, speech, any type of expression you can imagine. So we're opening this up to the whole community, and we hope to have civil conversations looking at all sides of the issue. We're going to be down at the main library with Tim and some others, and we'll have our cameras set up there so people who want to talk about this topic can start the conversation now. They don't even have to wait until the fall.
Leslie, thanks so much for calling. That is a great project.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's go now to Allison at the Beaches. Hi, Allison. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, Melissa. My project is Park Galleries, and my creator number is 22121. And Park Galleries is a website where people can lease original works of art in 3-month increments. When the lease expires, they have the option to renew for another 3 months, return the artwork at no cost, or they can purchase the artwork with 50% of the money that they already paid on the lease coming off the sale price. So in essence, they're building equity.
Very nice. Allison, thanks for calling.
Interesting.
What an interesting array of callers.
Yes.
What a great slew of projects. And that's just a small sample of what you can take in when you come downtown to this event.
What is it, 550?
555, yeah.
That's
And of course, the opening ceremony is tonight at 6 o'clock. Things will get going in Hemming Plaza. We'll be doing our show from the Mocha Theater starting at 8 o'clock from One Spark every night this week. So if you want to be part of our live studio audience, you need to come down and sit in the audience and be with us. In the meantime, always great to see you, John. I'll see you out there. Thanks for coming
Absolutely.
On today.
Thanks very much.
Our own analyst, John Burr, on the show this morning. Much more still ahead. Later, the cast of Stage Aurora's The Color Purple joins the show to talk about the Tony Award-winning Broadway classic. But up next, private proton therapy for cancer patients is now an option on the First Coast. We'll tell you how right after this.
Morning Edition is awake around the clock to bring you the latest news.
It's 2:10 in the morning, so still 5 hours left.
The hosts are usually here around 3:30.
You have Ophibia at 4, and it's about the Boko Haram ISIS news over the weekend.
Crunch time is 4 a.m.
until 5 when the show starts.
Hit it. Open.
Good morning, I'm David Green. With
Morning Edition. Up all night to bring you all you need to know. Listen tomorrow.
Weekday mornings starting at 5 on 89.9.
The Florida legislature is in session, and Capitol Report is your nightly connection to what's happening in Tallahassee as lawmakers debate and decide issues that affect all Floridians, such as expanding health care and gambling, protecting the state's water resources, private versus public schools, and prison reform. Hear Capitol Report each weeknight during the legislative session on this Florida public radio station.
That's Tuesday through Friday nights at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
First Coast Connect is on the go, broadcasting from Jacksonville's One Spark Festival, showcasing innovative projects in arts, music, science, and technology as creators collaborate, connect, and compete for high-stakes financial support. Join host Melissa Ross at the Mocha Jacksonville Theater to be a part of the studio audience April 7th, 8th, or 9th at 8 p.m. Learn more at wjct.org/events.
WJCTnews.org is your source for the latest local, national, and international news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Podcasts of your favorite local stories and shows, the WJCT First Read every weekday morning, and playlists from all of our after-hours music programming. From your computer or mobile device, see it all at WJCTnews.org.
Welcome back. Well, it's a precise and cutting-edge form of radiation therapy used to treat cancer. Now, Jacksonville has long had a proton therapy center at UF Health, the former Shands, but now the first private practice to offer proton therapy is open. Dr. Scott Ackerman of Jacksonville's Ackerman Cancer Center is here to tell us all about it. Dr. Ackerman, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Good to be here.
So this makes Jacksonville the only city in the country with two proton facilities. It really adds to Jacksonville's growing reputation as a medical tourism hub. Very exciting.
It really is. We are a medical tourism hub, not just because of proton therapy for cancer, but the Mayo Clinic is here in Jacksonville. University of Florida attracts patients for all sorts of specialties. Baptist Medical Center now is affiliated with MD Anderson, which has helped them also become a destination. And also the wonderful medical care that's provided by St. Vincent's and Baptist in general, and also a Memorial Medical Center. We have a lot of patients that come here as a destination for medical care.
How does proton therapy differ from traditional therapies in the treatment of cancer?
Well, proton therapy is a type of radiation therapy. So you want to differentiate proton therapy from more conventional radiation therapy, which is done with photons. Photons or X-rays or gamma rays is what we use. And protons deposit radiation into tumors. And the radiation that's deposited into tumors affects tumors the same way that photon radiation affects tumors. So in order to kill cancer cells, we want to deposit radiation into tumors. The difference is that when we use conventional or photon radiation, conventional radiation, the radiation beam goes into the patient and goes all the way through the patient out the other side of the patient. And so in order to maximize the dose of radiation that the tumor gets and minimize radiation to normal structures around the tumor, we use many different radiation beams from different angles. And where all those beams meet, that net sum gives the dose of radiation to the tumor. And since we use many beams, each beam contributes just a little bit of radiation. That little bit, though, is a little bit that's spread out around a large part of the body. With the proton beam, the uniqueness about protons is it goes into the body, and then when it gets to a certain depth in the body, that's determined by the energy that we impart on the proton, the proton stops, and when it stops, the energy is released, the radiation energy is released like a firecracker deep in the body, and then nothing goes through beyond that. Mm-hmm. So we deliver much less radiation to normal tissues and very precise targeted radiation to where the tumor is without having to use many, many different beams.
Who would be the ideal candidate for proton therapy treatment at your center?
Well, the ideal candidate for proton therapy in general, not just at my center, but proton therapy in general, is a patient who has a tumor that's deep in the body, that's near other critical structures, where we want to minimize dose of radiation to those normal tissues around it. And so the kind of patients that are treated with proton therapy typically are those with tumors at the base of skull. Patients that have tumors deep in the abdomen, like pancreatic cancers, certain tumors of the liver that are deep in the liver could be treated with proton therapy. Brain tumors. What we have found with brain tumors is that when we treat brain tumors, the whole brain gets a low dose of radiation and the brain with conventional radiation, and the tumor gets a good high dose of radiation. But that low dose of radiation to a large amount of the brain causes long-term cognitive changes and cognitive issues. So proton beam radiotherapy is an excellent treatment for patients with brain tumors.
People come from all over the world to get this treatment to Jacksonville, and they were coming and they will be coming to UF Health now. They'll also be coming to you,
well,
right?
Well, the UF Health has a world-renowned proton program, and I'm very proud to be in the city where they are, and there are colleagues of mine. They do excellent work, and they have people that come around the world to go to the proton facility. Many pediatric patients go there from around the world as well. What we're trying to do is provide proton therapy in the community to patients throughout our community to provide more access for patients to have proton therapy. Now, yes, we may get some patients from out of town, but our focus really is taking care of our patients in the community and providing more access to patients in our community. We don't ever intend to be as large as the University of Florida. We have our capacity is much, much lower than theirs is. And so, again, our goal is really to provide community access to proton therapy.
What advice do you have as well, doctor, for patients that are curious about this and are not sure if they are covered under their insurance to get this type of treatment?
Well, the best thing for patients to do is to talk to their physician about whether or not proton therapy is appropriate for them or not. So if you have cancer and you're seeing an oncologist, be it a medical oncologist or a radiation oncologist, talk to your physician about whether or not proton therapy is appropriate for you. And then to find out whether it's covered or not, just certainly we could be a resource for that. We're happy to see people and assess that. Most insurance companies cover it where it's clinically indicated. So if your physician thinks that proton therapy is appropriate for you, most insurance companies will cover it if it's medically necessary. And so we have the expertise to be able to work with the insurance companies and show them medical necessity so that coverage is provided.
Exciting medical news. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Melissa, for having me today.
Dr. Scott Ackerman from Jacksonville's Ackerman Cancer Center, the first private proton therapy center in the city. And in a moment, we welcome the cast of The Color Purple. That's next.
Hi, I'm Miguel Sanon.
I'm Nora Jones.
My name is Pedrito Martinez.
I'm Christian McBride with Jazz Night in America. Our new show is bringing you inside the jazz world. We're headed to concerts around the country, from New York to L.A. to D.C., and we're talking directly to musicians, finding out how and why they do what they do. Join me right here for Jazz Night in America.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
Spend some time in the Square, an online venue for local artists. WJCT and the Cultural Council of Greater Jacksonville invite you to vote for your favorite submissions. Visit wjct.org/thesquare.
The Dinosaur Train is rolling into Orange Park. Thrasher Horn Center and WJCT present Jim Henson's Dinosaur Train Live, Buddy's Big Adventure, on Tuesday, May 12 at 6 p.m. See the beloved stars of the hit PBS series come to life on stage in your hometown for the first time. Join Buddy, Tiny, King, Don, and their family and friends in this fun-filled, interactive musical trip back in time. Tickets are on sale now at 904-276-6815 or thcenter.org.
Travel back in time with Radio Theater. Doo-wop Revival. The Great American Songbook and Juke Joint. Throwback Sunday, Sunday nights beginning at 7 on 89.9 WJZT. Looking forward to looking back.
Hi, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And we're the guys from Deemable Tech.
Hey, if you've got a question about your computer, mobile phone, tablet, or the internet...
And who doesn't?
We're here to help.
Join us Thursdays during Morning Edition and All Things Considered here on WJCT.
And check out our podcast online at deemable.com.
That's deemable.com.
Welcome back. Well, finally, this hour, the Tony Award-winning Broadway smash The Color Purple debuts this weekend at Stage Aurora in the Gateway Town Center, based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Alice Walker. The Color Purple story focuses on the lives and challenges of African-American women in the Jim Crow South. And three stars join us now. Felicia Ewing as Celie, Tyrone Lennon as Harpo, and Janine Baker as Sophia, all in studio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Many are familiar with this story from the movie, of course, might not have seen the stage show. Felicia, let's begin with you. You play the starring role of Celie. People might remember Whoopi Goldberg portraying her in the film. And what a life Celie leads.
Yes, ma'am. It starts off, Celie is a poor, uneducated black woman. She survives a stepfather who rapes her, which in return he steals her babies, gives them away. She also survives an abusive husband. And when she comes into adulthood, she gets intimate with a woman, Shug Avery, as many know. And by the end of the novel, Celie is a happy independent, and she finds her voice. She finds herself.
Yeah, she triumphs in the end.
Yes.
Yeah. And so all of the characters in this are richly drawn, but the female characters in particular are absolutely enthralling. Let's talk a little bit about Sophia's character.
Yes.
Played by?
Janine Baker.
But in the movie, played by
Oprah Winfrey. Yes.
You're right. That's what I was just trying to give people a frame of reference in case they hadn't seen the show. But tell us, Sophia is very strong.
Yes, Sophia is very strong. She is very independent. She does not want to be dominated over, especially by men. She is not submissive to that. So she has her own self-will. The way she thinks is what she wants it to be. So
yeah. And Tyrone, tell us about Harpo, your character in the show, too.
Well, Harpo is the son of Mr. who was Celie's husband. And Harpo is young. He, you know, his dad is very aggressive, as because his father was. So Harpo deals a lot of that with his dad. But he's trying to, he's, you know, later starts to learn how his father treated him and how it trickled down, you know. And so he's starting to, I guess, start to see, maybe, I don't need to take this, you know. And then he meets Sophia. He's falling in love. And then, you know, he's noticing a lot with how he treats Miss Celie. And so Harpo kind of tries to, he's always afraid of his father, though.
Yeah, but he's a sympathetic character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, the character of Celie, when you start out with this story, you couldn't imagine a more oppressed person.
Right.
So I think that's why the color purple affects so many, because she overcomes these overwhelming odds.
Yep.
What's it like to play that part?
We're traveling over a course of about 40 years within the play. So the challenge for me was to, you know, be able to stay in character. You know, I become like a 40-something-year-old woman, and all the voice changes and the, you know, the scene changes from going, you know, from not being naive to, in the end, you know, finding myself. It was very challenging. So,
sure.
Yeah.
And it's a musical too, by the way.
Yeah.
The book wasn't a musical. Mm-hmm. The movie wasn't a musical. There are songs in this. Yes. Well, tell us about doing all the numbers. What's that like?
Oh, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
We have some very talented singers, and it actually helps to transform the different scenes.
Right.
From at the opening. We have the two young ladies that are kind of playing in the yard, and they're singing. And then we also, next we have, after that, we have several different scenes where Harpo is introducing the jute joint, and he's with his field men. And then we have also going from Silly and Suge singing together. And as you know, Suge Avery has a key part where she's singing in the jute joint. So
yes,
it's a lot of different transitions, yes, but it is fun.
I would think, I mean, this is really specific music from a specific time and place. So how do you guys, does that help you guys get into the characters?
I think it really helps. It helps a lot. You know, a lot of the you know, the verbiage is, mm-hmm, you know, we got to take it back a couple years.
Country folks.
Yeah, we're very, very country, you know, so. But
can you talk like your characters for a minute? How does your, do a little bit in character. No? You're just laughing now.
Miss Seeley, what should I do, Miss Seeley?
Well, I think you still love a Hoppo. You've been married 3 years and you still whistle and sing.
I want her to jump when I call, like you do when Pa call.
Well, if that's what you want, you're going to have to beat her.
You told Hoppo to beat me.
I'm sorry.
I loves Hoppo. God knows I do. But I kill him dead if he or any other man lift his hand to beat me.
Nice. I'm the only one in here clapping, but I love it. Oh, you clap for yourselves. You guys are great. Oh, this is so exciting. And, you know, Stage Aurora, over the years, we just have to plug Stage Aurora and your leader, Daryl Reuben Hall. He couldn't be here today, but he does an outstanding job staging these incredible plays, often with an African-American cast and theme, in Gateway Town Center. It's a completely different and important theatrical experience that I encourage everyone in Jacksonville to come out and partake of.
Yes.
And so...
experience.
Yeah, so now let's see. You guys kick off Friday night,
yes,
for 6 shows only, is that right?
Yes.
6 shows.
Anything else we need to know about the show?
No, we definitely have great rates for children as well as seniors. So the tickets are on sale now. The tickets are $20 for general admission for our seniors as well as our students. The students are from ages 5 to 17. They are 15, and seniors 65 and older are 15 as well. And tickets can be purchased through Stage Aurora. Also, they can be purchased through Brothers there at the Gateway Town Center, and online at www.stageaurora.ticketleap.com.
All right, go on out and see The Color Purple, debuting Friday at Stage Aurora. Cast members Felicia Ewing, Janine Baker, Tyrone Lennon, all joining us. Break a leg, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
That's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme, composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony Orchestra's Pyotr Chevchik. If you've got questions or comments about this program, just send us an email to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, and make sure to catch our daily podcast. It's now up on iTunes. Next on Diane Rehm, about 45 million Americans go to their doctors for a physical at least once a year, but some researchers have begun to question the value of these routine exams. Up next, the pros and cons of that annual physical. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville, your community, your world. Tomorrow, make sure to tune in at 9 for our special broadcast from the Mocha Theater with a live studio audience as we cover the opening ceremonies of One Spark. We'll have special shows all week from the World's Crowdfunding Festival, so listen in and have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.